Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're calling this the Trump Arraignment Tuesday edition. And Dominic, we've been joined from the, I guess it's the Greater Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire Valley. We've got Civic Media's own former U.S. attorney and host of the Morning Cannolis, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. James Santel, welcome back, man. I listened to you over the weekend. I enjoyed it. Quite good, sir.
Hey, Jim.
And Mike, I'm good to be with you once again. Yes, coming from beautiful upstate, mid-state Wisconsin here, I understand 93.5 is our call number up here.
The tap.
So delighted to be.
You're on tap today.
All right. Good, good. And more importantly, good to be in conversation with the two of you once again.
Now, my understanding is the former president of the United States was indicted on 37 counts, although Maggie Dawn said there were actually 38 counts. Perhaps you could clarify that confusion at some point, Jim, for my sake. I want to be edified. But Trump called for some sort of a January 6th-like standoff outside the courthouse, seemingly. He went on the Truthy Social and said, "See you in Miami on Tuesday," all caps. That's what he told his you know, loyalist, I guess. But the rally today outside the Miami courthouse was described as mostly MAGA misfits. Jim, was there any fear? I think I had seen and heard express fear that the former president was trying to weaponize the mob outside the courthouse. Jim, that seems like a legitimate concern of a federal court.
It certainly would be. And if you compare some of the things that he wrote, again, on Twitter at the time, right before January 6th, and some of the things now on Truth Social, they're not exactly the same syntactically, so to speak, but they certainly incite the same kind of thing, calling people, if you will, to not only defend America, but to support him. And so in terms of just overall content and intent, I would argue that they had the same purpose. As you indicated, every reporting is that it did not have the same effect as it did on January 6th, but nonetheless, a reason for concern. Plainly, the federal government, state authorities as well, not sure what would happen today, preparing for that. You can be certain that there were a huge amount of logistical planning operations underway. Plainly, appropriately, thankfully, did not have to be invoked, but an issue in America today. When you think about the reaction that has been his when he's done this in the past. We have spoken in the past on this very show. I was concerned about the fact that if, in fact, the president was indicted federally at some point, there would be even widespread nationwide reaction to this of a not good, not simply First Amendment source. And that apparently is not coming true. And that, too, is, I think, a real reflection of where America is today. Obviously, there's that component that is supporting him still, but it sort of indicates that it almost doesn't matter to them that he has been indicted. And unfortunately, he's also using this to weaponize his own material gain here by asking for money and support. So some unusual, unpredictable responses from, again, months ago. But today, they certainly did not play out the way that at least I predicted a long time ago.
Jim Santel, don't know if you'd seen the reporting at The Guardian, University of Chicago research finding 12 million Americans thought it was justified to use violence to restore Donald Trump to the presidency. you know, basically throwing out democracy. They're all down for the violent insurrection. Jim, concerning number? Does this seem like there's always been this sort of violent underlying portion of our population, sir? What's your opinion?
Absolutely. First of all, University of Chicago, my alma mater, incredibly reliable in terms of its research. So I'm much inclined to believe and to credit that reporting. I did see that as well. You would think that there might be 12,000 perhaps at top, maybe 120. But the fact that there were in the millions is a source of great concern. We recently saw the death in federal prison of the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. This is a man who was also plainly during Janet Reno's term as Attorney General when I was at Maine Justice, calling for the overthrow of our government, trying to undermine our nation through what? By violence. That's where his name comes from, Unabomber, University Airport Bomber. And so, again, all these many years later, we still have the same kind of approach to this. It is difficult to know what the response would be other than to condemn it completely, to prepare for it, again, as we just said, as law enforcement routinely has, and to continue to indicate by the remaining, we've got 340-some million people in America. We'd like to think that the remaining, putting aside those 12 million people, are not in support of this sort of thing. They need now to come forward, regardless of your political background, your political bent, and condemn this resoundedly. Members of Congress need to do that. Members of both parties need to do that. The American public needs to say these 12 million people are just as out there as the Ted Kaczynskis were of past years.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's James Santel. He's the former U.S. Attorney, host of Morning Cannolis here on the Civic Media Network. Jim, always a pleasure to talk to you. Let's get into some of the weeds a little bit. Regarding the 38th count, my understanding after reading through it, that was specifically and only applied to Walt Nauta. Donald Trump was not part of the 38th count. That's why I guess presumably Walt has 38 and Trump has 37. But the drawing of the judge, the same old judge, here we go, right? The last Eileen Cannon, right? Wasn't she the one who was slapped down? She was basically doing Trump's bidding, tried to get this whole thing thrown out in the beginning. Some of the reporting I'm seeing, Jim, saying that while she may not be able to, you know, do everything Trump would want, if she were so inclined, she could, you know, delay, she could have influence on, you know, witnesses, she could, hell, she could give a sentence, if convicted, less than what the prosecutors were asking for. Are you concerned about that? How do you see that playing out? And if she does do some, what we would consider perhaps nefarious rulings, what are Jack Smith's options or DOJ's option at that point?
There are two packages of things. You've identified them both. First, the kinds of things that a federal judge can and cannot do. Certainly the things, including in the federal rules of criminal procedure that are prescribed. He's got to do certain things. He plainly has had his arraignment and plea today. That's a part of the process. But there are many things that are, I would fall in the category of discretionary. One of them you just indicated, a speedy trial. As we all know, we are now officially in campaign season. A year from now, we're going to be on the cusp, the eve of the conventions. There is a thing, as we have talked about before, Dom, called the Speedy Trial Act, contemplates 70 days. She can make all kinds of findings under that the case is sufficiently complex. There are other things about the progress of the litigation, the prosecution generally, that warrant a delay in this. And those are findings that she can make under the Speedy Trial Act, under other statutes there, that could, in fact, delay this into a time that could be more advantageous to the president. So that's one thing that she can do procedurally. The other thing also you indicated, plainly there will be motions, substantive motions. They're coming right now. They're plainly getting the discovery presented by Jack Smith to them under Brady and Jenks. Those are the names of the cases that require disclosure. What are those motions? Those are going to be motions to dismiss. There's going to be a motion to dismiss this indictment in its entirety, attacking its legal and factual integrity. That is coming. There's going to be a motion certainly to suppress the results of the search warrant of last August. And we know, as you indicated, how Eileen Cannon dealt with that. She was very supportive of and enhanced and I think affirmatively promoted the civil litigation, the civil attack on that investigative pursuit. 11th Circuit slapped her down at least twice, saying you have no business being in this area. Now she does. Now this is properly before her, and she can make some substantive rulings about this. Those would also then, moving into the remedies there, be subject to appeal, again, to the 11th Circuit, depending upon what Jack Smith wants to do. My own guess is that he will be very attentive to what she does procedurally and then also substantively and make decisions all along the way. If she decides to so-called learn her lesson from the 11th Circuit and abide by basic standards, maybe that will not be the great problem it might otherwise be. But if not, Jack Smith can do a number of things, including perhaps pursue some interlocutory appeals even before the trial is scheduled, challenging these things again to the 11th Circuit. He may also petition the district court itself if there is enough animosity from her in her oversight of the criminal case, may petition for her recusal for the chief judge there to assign somebody else to the case. He does have remedies. My guess, he's going to wait and see if, in fact, we've got the previous Eileen Cannon, who is hostile to this kind of prosecution, or one who is now towing the right set of rules here and doing what she should do. Nothing happened immediately, but don't be surprised if this also becomes a major piece of litigation. That is, whether Eileen Cannon should be the judge on this case. Having said all that, we hope that she will abide by her oath, apply the law to the facts, and do what she is obliged to do. She unfortunately has a very disturbing and disappointing record that gives us reason for pause.
Ever generous with his right. language, Jim Santel. Just call a bad judge a bad judge, Jim. I know you're still practicing, but, you know, the rest of us just want to hear it in plain talk. We are the Devil's Advocates. We'll give you the plain talk. We got a fine guest, former U.S. attorney and the host of the tremendous Saturday morning show, Morning Cannolis, plays out on the Civic Media Network, 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, let's talk about the evidence. Part of the indictment was the presentation of 31 documents. And our understanding is, according to the reporting of the Washington Post, 21 of those documents were top secret. That was like third time through to even get these documents. And a lot of these were top secret, not to be released to foreign nationals. Jim, a lot of evidence.
A lot of evidence. And again, you look to even the first couple of paragraphs, not only those documents, the classifications in which they're in. I was stricken on the security issue by the description in, it's a whopping paragraph 3, talking about those documents being focused upon defensive and weapon capabilities of our country and of foreign countries, our nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of the United States of America to a military attack, plans for in response to that attack. Those are no small things. And then,
Jim, there is no then until we get back from the break. More Devil's Advocates. Hold tight, please.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, please go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab, and find out all the great programming going on here at Civic Media.
And some of that great programming includes Morning Cannolis, Saturday mornings with Jim Santel, our fine guest. He right now is with us from the Eau Claire area, where we're on the tap, 93.5 FM. Tell all your friends and tell them to listen to the Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11, Saturday mornings. Jim, thanks for sticking around.
Glad to be with you, as always.
After the indictment, Jim, my understanding, the former president went to a Cuban restaurant.
Yes.
Glad-handed with supporters. This happened in his backyard, effectively Palm Beach County. Mar-a-Lago is just north of Miami, right? So this is where Trump now makes his home. Anyways. Your thoughts, is that what a guy does politically, or would you have recommended your client go out for lunch at a Cuban counselor?
I would not have recommended much of anything that the former president's been doing these days, including that. I at the risk of sounding way too serious about this, I will say once again, and his attorney should impress this upon him, he probably won't listen, but as he always said, any criminal prosecution is human tragedy, right? It's a tragedy, certainly for the victims of the crime, for the community in which the event happens. In this case, it's the entire nation. And frankly, I know this will not go over well with some listeners, at least of these words. It's also a tragedy for the defendants themselves, right? That we are even dealing with this man who plainly should never have been a president in the first place. The notion that you go out after an arraignment, which is the start of this very serious, tragic criminal prosecution for the nation, and do what is being viewed, I think, as a celebration, maybe once again an attempt to raise some funds, entirely inappropriate, sending entirely the wrong messages, of course, to the larger population. Beyond that, as we have talked about before, the very best thing that Donald Trump can do now, it's probably too late, but do now, is to be quiet. He plainly will not do that. He can't do that during the course of his campaign. But the more and more he talks, the more and more he does these public things, you have to know that Jack Smith is recording all of this. And depending upon the strength of the outrageous things that our former president says, implicating himself further in the very crimes with which he is now charged, these are things that can still show up in the trial, whenever that is. It doesn't mean that just because the indictment was returned, you cannot continue to discover things and assemble evidence in support of the charges already made. Jack Smith continues to have the recordings underway, and the things he says, perhaps including in this celebration today at the Miami restaurant, those could well show up yet in the federal criminal trial on these charges. His attorneys, again, as I've said before, have got to be doing backflips right now, not out of joy or glee, but out of horror that their client continues to do these things.
Jim Santel, our fine guest, you said you'd recommend your client kind of keep his mouth shut. Trump went to the Cuban restaurant to do a radio show, my understanding. Jim Santel, our fine guest, former U.S. attorney. He's not Trump's counselor. I'm not sure that Trump has capable Florida counsel, but that's a whole different issue. And I don't feel sorry for the man, I got to tell you, human tragedy or not, Jim. Ultimately, Jim, politically, the guy is a presidential candidate. And it's not really damaged him with the MAGA part of the Republican base, which apparently 60-something percent of the Republican Party. So this guy, in all probability, A, is coming to a debate in Milwaukee. Could you see the man pleading the fifth from stage? I mean, would you try to bait him like a prosecutor and try to make him expose his culpability under you know, this sort of national spotlight?
Absolutely. Any time defendant is out there making any statements to the public, anything beyond the things that he says to his attorney, assuming the things he says to his attorney are not about putting together more conspiracies to commit more crimes, anything beyond that is fair game. And again, we've seen that in a couple of these town hall meetings, CNN, Fox News. He continues not only to double down in his past behavior, but those things that he says are actually admissions to the very charges against him in this indictment. Again, the very fact that on the day this indictment comes forward, we've got at least two of his attorneys who decide to depart his company and obviously is replaced by other people, that is no small thing. They recognize that this case is becoming increasingly defensible. If it's not already clear from my statements, this is a very strong presentation, even on these charges in the complaint. Yes, presumed innocent. Yes, that attends him until the time the jury comes back with a verdict. But if half of this, and we assume that all of it can be proven by Jack Smith, this is a compelling case for any jury. It just keeps getting worse and worse the more he's out there on those campaign stages, asking for people not only to understand his position, but describing the reasons why he did what he did. And as again, as I said, acknowledging his criminality in taking the documents, retaining them documents, as we see now in the indictment, showing them, banding about. We've got the Bedminster conversations. We've got these clear representations from his very mouth about what he was doing with these things. We certainly have a compelling case here. It is a strong matter. This is not a fly-by-night kind of a superficial allegation. There's a lot here, and I anticipate that if Jack Smith can do a good job here, and he will, there will be a very strong and speedy conviction whenever that trial is completed.
Jim, that'll be a while from now. We got like 30 seconds. Tell me why this should not be deemed a political prosecution from Trump supportive. I mean, this is Joe Biden's DOJ.
It is maybe
30 on this, Jim.
Absolutely. This is 26 people in a grand jury. They're called together. They're teachers, they're healthcare providers, they're radio announcers. There are other folks out there who are doing the work of America. They looked at this evidence. They made a determination by their review of this evidence and said there's probable cause to believe that everything in that indictment can be proved. And there's probable cause right now to return the indictment. It was done by private citizens in America looking at the evidence, not the general, not Joe Biden, not the Department of Justice.
Thank you so much, Jim Santel, host of the Morning Cannolis. Tune them in Saturday morning.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Trump Arraignment Tuesday. Strongly not guilty on all the charges. Strongly. What do you say specifically, Dominic? Do you know?
Certainly enter plea of not guilty.
Say
certainly.
See, certainly not. We certainly have the finest guest and host around here in Jim Santel. The Morning Cannoli, Saturday mornings. I know a lot of you get up on Saturdays, 9 to 11, and listen to Jim. It's like a civics class mixed with law school. I mean, you're getting a higher level of education. You tune in for
right.
You tune in for 13 weeks. You get one credit towards law school. Unlike Dom, you still got to pass the LSATs to get your diploma at the end.
Don't need the stinking LSAT.
What was your reaction, Dom? Is this a sad day in modern history? Oh, real quick. I want to address one listener, a new listener. Her name is Heather, and she listens in Kenosha 98.1. And here's what Heather informs me of. I've been a longtime listener of 98.1 in Kenosha. And to say that I'm disappointed by the abrupt change in format is putting it mildly. Again, in hour number one, we talked about the inaccurate accusation leveled at Civic Media by the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
By the fundraising email of the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
That we were silencing Fox News and stealing
the election.
Both buying and stealing the election by silencing conservative voices. Playing the oldies like our fine new station, WRJN, 1400 AM. You can hear it in Milwaukee. Doesn't play oldies anymore. 99.9, and Heather listened on 98.1 in Kenosha. Here's what she does say. Here's the however. There's a however, Dom.
Ooh, all right.
However, I've enjoyed the shows I've listened to so far.
All right.
Now, she did have some specific critiques about couple of the engineering things we're cleaning up on the back end, but you know, I still took it, all things considered, newly exposed to the format. She's not totally crapping on us. So Heather, welcome to the greatest radio show ever.
Thank you, Heather.
You should know that you can call us here at 844-967-2789. We like friends. We make friends readily. You only got to talk to us a couple times. Dom will buy you a beer, and we'll be your friend. I'm sorry, Dom. You go.
We're easy like that. So, yes, Heather, call us, 844-967-2789. Appreciate you jumping on, playing with us on the Civic Media app. How do we feel about this? You know, I've tossed this around, and I have a few thoughts I'd like to share.
The Trump arraignment we're talking
yes,
about now.
This
not the oldies format that used to be on 98.1 in Kenosha, just for clarity's sake.
Thank you for that. Yes, less thoughts about the oldies format, more thoughts about the indictment of a former president and the indictment and arraignment of a former president in and of itself. Wow, I mean, that is obviously historic. This has never happened before. A president has never been arrested, indicted, arraigned by a government which he once ran. So that's That's a little sad. But, you know, hell, records are made to be broken. So let's put that one aside. It's a glorious, glorious day for, you know, the rule of law and order Republicans. I mean, this is not a persecution. Donald Trump, if you read the indictment, and I assume everybody has, because it's really easy to read, it's not that long. We're talking about things that would put this country, and specifically sources and troops and all the things that the Republicans claim to care about, in jeopardy, at risk. That is worth pursuing. As we talked about yesterday, this is not the same as Pence and Biden and Clinton. These are different situations. Donald Trump had ample opportunity to comply, to return the documents. This is entirely of his own making. So in that respect, this is a glorious day. Absolutely. If I'd have done these things, we would not have this conversation today. This would have been going on a year ago already. So the impact, the unequal, you know, application of justice is not what the right thinks. I mean, Trump had ample opportunity. Talk to Reality Winter, any of these other folks that ever, you know, got involved with taking documents of the government, they got sent up the creek. So the fact that the former president had as much time to comply with lawful requests for our nation's secrets, and he continued not to do so, and in fact endangered everybody in this country by acting in the way he did. Yeah, this is a great day. And the other thing, this man, as James Santel pointed out, and I concur, this man should never have been president. Whatever, but you know, he won the election. Okay, but there is the risk of that, and being to have access to this kind of information that can send you to the big house if you play with it wrong is a huge responsibility. And obviously, Donald Trump was not up to the task. A man who looks at everything as a deal and tries to monetize air, this man was not able to fulfill his obligation to the Constitution, to the presidency, to we the American people. And his flippant attitude, if that's all it is, if it's just his egomaniacal narcissist attitude, that would be the best possible situation. But do we have all the documents? Do we know what the motivation is? We'd be lucky if he goes down for the fraud charges with Stormy Daniels versus what might come out in this kind of trial and other trials to come forward.
So if I hear you correctly, Dom, you're all down for Orange is the New Black. And I think you accuse the former president of I don't know if I heard it correctly, something about being a bad deal maker or a deal maker. I would point out you drank a $4 cup of water that I bought for you at a Trump rally. They gave it to us in a styrofoam cup, and they charged us $4 a styrofoam cup of water. If that's not the art of the deal, I don't know what is.
Well, they also, didn't they unplug the actual...
The water fountains.
Well, and there were like soda machines and whatnot too. I mean, I think they unplugged everything, and you had to buy Donald Trump water. I thought it was plastic, but yes, that's how he rolls.
We have plastic Trump with Trump on the face water. Yeah. But I mean, I paid $4 for a styrofoam cup full of water so you would not dehydrate.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. All right, but that's my thought. What about you? I mean, where are you at with this? From a historical context, from a personal context, is this a great day or the greatest day ever?
Well, my birthday was pretty damn good, I gotta tell you. I'll give you more of my opinion. I'll flush it out here, and you got to stick around for Crudy's take. But your take right now, 844-967-2789, in our first WRJN call-in, an old friend at a new location, Judy from Racine. Welcome back, Judy. How you been? Say hi to Dominic. Judy.
I'm just hunky-dory here in the rain and all. And I just wanted to say that happy birthday, Mike. And
thank you.
I don't know if you remember, but maybe some people didn't know, it was my mother's 97th birthday.
Same day as yours, Mike.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday, Mom.
And, well, we celebrated Sunday, but that's just a miracle to me.
Well, tell Mom we can celebrate through the whole month. It's birthday month round here. That's how we play.
Okay. Well, and then I want to give that my little love muffin a happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you, Judy. I appreciate it.
And I accept also your adoration on behalf of Donald Trump, who shares the birthday with Dominic.
Well, I know, but I'd throw a party, but no. But anyway, I would. But and I just wanted to make a little note about your signal.
Uh-oh.
It keeps dropping them a lot.
The sound. They're working on some of the engineering, Judy, but. Which one are you listening to?
Well, actually, I'm listening to Waukesha in my bedroom radio, the 540, and then out here in the stereo, I got the 99.99, whatever it is.
You got it perfect, 99.9 FM.
All
the
right.
New shiny WRJN. It's actually a heritage station in the area. 97 years of servicing. We're seeing...
Well,
less
oldies
now.
Mom.
Here's what I can tell you for those that really appreciate the oldies. Lou Rigotti's going to start with us, I believe, 2 weeks from Monday. He's going to do a localized morning show. And Lou is of the greatest generation, I believe, 83. Didn't mean to age you, Lou. And Lou also is going to do a Sunday morning oldies show, Music for
All
the
right.
Stars. Lou's been doing that show for one of our competitors down the dial, an inferior former or current oldie station. Well, we stole Lou to do our oldies on Sunday mornings on WRJN. So a new tradition on WRJN. And did I mention Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers for 2024? Or if you believe the RPW, Biden and Brewers for 2024.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks, guys. Happy birthday to both of you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yesterday and tomorrow. It's just remarkable to me the intellectual dishonesty and perfect willingness to violate whichever commandment it was for bearing false witness by the Republican Party against civic media, because as you pointed out, you didn't put any Fox News stations off the air or any conservative stations off the air. You revitalized
mathematically
the old stations.
Speaking, Mark, if I could, I would have. It was my every intention to take some right wing talk radio stations off the air, but to date, we haven't had the opportunity to do so. But I assure you,
and boy,
I got one coming in Park Falls.
and isn't that a tragedy that suddenly we actually have?
Yeah, but it's
not equity.
It's still inaccurate because that'll be it's stations 19 and 20, so they aren't counting that one in the math.
Well, but also, isn't it ironic? I mean, this is a capitalistic endeavor, is it not? You know, buying things and selling things. I thought the Republicans and the GOP, they were down with all of that. So all of a sudden, now the Republicans are trying to fundraise off of civic media for engaging in capitalism?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, and that's what more ridiculous. It shows what wusses they are, not allowing you to attend their little convention, and... the wicked part of me thinks, you know, that didn't a lot of people disappear in La Crosse County? They took a walk and disappeared in the Mississippi River.
Well,
and,
there is rumor of a smiley face serial killer, but no one's died since
20 years.
No one's died since Dom went to grad school.
The mighty Mississippi, yeah. Mark, you gotta be aware of, she'll jump up and grab you.
Yeah, but with the meat of the mists or whatever, that's a little different thing there. But I mean, it is just it's just, you know, now you can make up whatever you want about them. You know, that that and they can't claim that. I don't know. It's just ridiculous that they're not allowed.
Well, it is ridiculous, and they're using all the same words. You know, the steal. I mean, there's no stealing. I mean,
buying and stealing.
Target market is. Yeah, buying and stealing market doesn't even make sense. They contradict themselves in their own, and it's not a long email. Oh, these evil liberals are stealing the election, and these evil liberals are going out and buying the election. They can't even be consistent with their own BS argument. That's in what dire straits that formerly GOP party, the mega party, is in.
Dominic, on the other side of this break, I'll give you my take on the arraignment of the former president and perhaps some scurrilous made-up stuff about the Republican Party of Wisconsin. They started it.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Some say the greatest radio show ever, but there's a really good one following us. It's Maggie Dawn's show. Make sure you stick around for Maggie at 6 o'clock. We'll take your calls in this segment, though, at 844-967-2789.
Here's the problem, Dom. We are personalities. You know, oh, I forgot to tell the audience. Going to need your help. We're trying to win something. We've been nominated for Madison's favorite, and you can only vote one time. We would ask you to vote for Dom and Crute, the Devil's Advocates, for Madison's favorite talk radio personalities. And here's the disadvantage. We're already mid-month. The voting's been open for 2 weeks. First time we're even bringing it up. Everyone that is nominated in this category has got a radio show. You know, everyone else is asking for votes, begging for votes. Please consider the Channel 3000 Best of Madison, I think it is.
We will buy and or steal votes.
I have not yet voted, but I'll get there. I'll get there. I'll vote for us, probably.
Okay, I was going to say, who are you going to vote for?
Probably us.
Probably us? I mean, that'd be good.
Maybe there's someone better out there. I just haven't heard of yet.
I doubt it. I don't think that's true.
I agree, although I'm a little concerned. The Maggie Dawn, like, second week on the job's already better than us.
Again, I know.
Have you been listening? Maggie is really, really freaking good.
Yeah, I know.
Please, I would encourage all of you, give it another hour and listen to the Maggie Dawn show. Worth every minute or your money back for free. You get what you paid for, or something like that?
Every time. 844-967-2789. We'll get to you, callers. Be patient. All right, Crudy, lay it on me, brother. How you feeling today? The first time in U.S. history a former president has been indicted, has been arrested, arraigned on federal charges. Is this great or terrible for the country?
For the country? I think it's ultimately great news for the country. No man is above the law. It's an unfortunate circumstance that brings us to this place where the former president's now charged 37 counts, felonious counts, and any one conviction would probably basically send this old man to prison for life, right?
A terminal sentence, Jonathan Turley called it.
Turley, a very conservative guy, and actually says there's a lot of there. Said this is a much different indictment than what Alvin Bragg dropped. Turley would accuse Bragg of being political in his indictment. I would say this is something different, even according to Jonathan Turley. And this, in all probability, will end up with the conviction of the former president. I think that that is ultimately a good thing. I think it's also going to test Republicans, because at some point in the future, some Republicans going to get elected to the presidency. It's going to have the power to, what? Go pardon Donald Trump. So even if Donald Trump steps out or gets indicted or goes to jail, effectively, Ron DeSantis is running on the I'll pardon Don tour.
Nikki Haley, I believe, may have insinuated to that very same thing today. So this will be a great debate question while Trump's on the stage next to them. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know how this plays out.
Who would
Which ones of you guys would pardon me? I'd like to see a show of hands.
Come on.
Because it used to cost like $2 million when I was in the office.
So you're down. You're okay with it. This is a good thing for the country. It's not a political witch hunt. This guy did it. He laid it out. He had opportunity to, you know, ample, way more opportunity than anybody else on this earth would have with those very same documents. Oh, please, Mr. Trump, may we please have them back? Please, 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 please. I mean, come on. A year and a half of that, and you're finally coming around?
Well, that, and there's tapes, and the nature of the documents, the gravity of the documents. It wasn't just like he was trying to keep the love letters from Kim Jong-un. It was, you know, it was something different, as I understood it, right, Dom? These were top secret documents. These were documents not to be shared with foreign powers. And I've told you all along, what I really want to see is the indictment of the former president, because I think history owes us closure on the January 6th. We need to know why and what part Donald Trump played. And was there some conspiracy at the highest levels with the Proud Boys and others? And I think there probably was. I'm just conjecturing. But I think that's what history ultimately owes us, is an answer and a probable indictment on the insurrection against the peaceful transfer of power, against his own vice president. That's what I would like to see.
Well,
Donald
and it's not
Trump
just against the vice president. I mean, that kind of crime is against the millions and millions of people who engaged in the election. I mean, that's an affront to you and me and all the rest of us.
I don't disagree, but Mike Pence is going to be on the debate stage with them in Milwaukee on August 23rd. And all
Trump
probability.
Isn't showing up, man. I'm just going to say that. Before we get to your calls, 844-967-2789. Let me throw this one out there. James Santel mentioned this. Paragraph number 3. The classified documents Trump stored in his boxes included information regarding defense and weapons capabilities of both the United States and foreign countries, United States nuclear programs, potential vulnerabilities of the United States and its allies to military attack, the plans for possible retaliation in response to a foreign attack, the unauthorized disclosure of these documents, classified documents, could put at risk the national security of the United States, foreign relations, and the safety of the United States military, the human sources, and the continued viability of sensitive intelligence collection methods. That's what Donald Trump was playing with, and he knew it. He knew it was classified. He knew it was important, and that's what made it valuable, and that's why he kept it.
And that's why I've amended my opinion on the formerly described as paperwork crimes. That and the indictments help, you know, and the copious evidence, even in the public purview so far, seems pretty damning. 844-967-2789. Tom from Cedarburg. How you doing, Tom?
Hey, Tom.
Well, okay. I agree with your attorney who's on from 3 to 4 that it seems like a mistake to have it down in Florida because of that judge, and it should have been either in Washington, D.C. or the other place that Trump has a vacation place. I'm not sure if it's Delaware or
Bedminster, New Jersey. Bedminster, Jersey, I think, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I want to say is that I'm so glad to hear that you picked up Lou. He's such a cool guy, and he does a really neat history, like an hour in Racine and Kenosha Monday through Friday. And then on the weekends, he does the old-time music. And it's really, really a neat guy. It's just a neat voice, too. And real, just calming and reassuring. Just a neat
sort
guy.
Of a Rat Pack, sort of a Dean Martin kind of guy. He's got a certain amount of cool to him, doesn't
cool.
he?
Yeah, I'm so glad you picked him up. That's a real addition.
Well, you know, we continue to recruit the finest talent. My only fear is we'll be like the third best show on the network at some point, or fourth or fifth, or
you know.
We got some good ones coming up later tonight, included Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education, and Maggie Dawn, She Ain't Half Bad, Rick Smith, 8 to 10, in Native Roots Radio, Move to Late Night, catch them 10 to 11 right here on the Civic Media Network. Now with less Republican